I come from a 19th century country, Canada, and this gives me a great advantage in looking at the 20th century.
The 20th century is the age of electric technology. It's the most dominant tool of our time. It is causing you to reconsider and reevaluate every thought and every institution you formerly took for granted.
I know exactly where the boundaries of the 20th century begin. Mostly they begin in the United States. So any Canadian can see what you cannot see. That is, you live in the 20th century more or less, and it becomes therefore invisible.
The electric age is changing you. It is changing your family. It is changing your neighborhood. It's changing your education. It's changing your job. When this circuit learns your job, what are you going to do? It's changing your government. It's changing your relationship to others. These little circuits are making our world go. The electric age is having a profound effect on us. We are in a period of fantastic change. That's coming about at fantastic speed. Your life.
Okay, now I'm going to go to the picnic in space, and let's hear that one. So McLuhan and Harley Parker are out in the scrub bush outside New York City.
When she asked me to paint this ceiling, I didn't know how. So I went to our new learning library. Anything you want to learn, painting, business, investments, anything you want to know how, your library can now show you how. Finished!
Very good, Michael. Now be an angel and do the walls.
Walls? I don't know how.
For more know-how, visit the new learning center now open at your public library.
You swallow people en masse by the media.
You're eating them alive. They're living dark.
But then there's that kind of thing. It's a cannibal form.
Now we gather up the river. The beautiful river. Yes, we shall gather up the river. Let the flow by the throne of the throne.
Let me think. I wonder how we could break into this.
How could we break into it?
Into the seam of space.
I have no idea whether they're ever going to get around to it.
Kinds of space today. Visual space. Enclosed visual space. Enclosed space. Equatorial space.
Enclosed space. Equatorial space.
Euclidean visual space.
Unenclosed space.
Visual space for outdoor space.
Barred space.
Euclidean space.
A civilized continuous space.
Completely abstract visual space.
Visual space. A rational visual space. This is a new kind of space.
It's like that wonderful novel by John Wayne called The Smaller Sky, in which a commuter who gets suddenly very fed up with traveling back and forth from a distant suburb to downtown London, England, actually, he suddenly is struck with the obvious idea, Paddington Station has everything. I'm going to move in there. All human services are available at Grand Central, including entertainment. They have an excellent movie theater. Why should one travel back and forth when you have an environment at the station itself which includes all human needs? This is a kind of discovery tends to dawn on people who have been hypnotized by the repetitive routines, but it also tends to dawn in an age in which people, the electric age, in which people are suddenly disenchanted with the mechanical routine.
The apple of the eye was thought of as a broadcasting center, which created your visual world. It put the visual world outside you. You made it inside and you broadcast it outside. That was done by the apple of the eye. They never thought of the visual world as coming in.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking now of ancient times, Greek times. The Hebrews used that phrase. Until the 18th century, it never occurred to anybody that sight was something you received. Keep me in the apple of thine eye, and please keep me in existence. Its original context. Everything depends upon knowing just how far things are apart. I always remember Takamura, the Jap, telling our class one day that when a Japanese housewife would never, ever dream of expressing displeasure with her husband, all she did was to change the position of the flowers in the room to indicate her grief, misery, disappointment. But by verbal means, no displeasure would ever be recorded by a Japanese housewife. In the Orient, all artistic effects are achieved by spaces, intervals between objects. It may be true that it is just the tremendous power of the spoken word in an oral society which makes it very dangerous to use it. On the other hand, the word syncopation tells the same story, doesn't it? When jazz came in, it was called syncopation. And if that means space between, jazz is a new world of tactile, involving art, tribal,
non-linear,
and non-visual, in which people are totally involved by the interval.
It's extemporaneous in most cases.
And closely related to speech. The word jazzé in New Orleans French means to chatter. J-A-S-E-R. And so the jazz was a tremendous return to the spoken word in music after the 19th century and the Baroque period, when orchestras had broken away from language altogether.
Let's see, we took a rest. Took a little walk.
A little interval?
Yeah. Yeah.
The picture that we are presently engaged in making will be probably is a movie which will probably be shown on TV. When it is shown on TV, will it be a movie or TV? The first requisite I would suggest for any political candidate today is complete indifference as to whether or not he is elected. This is necessary for his election or survival at all as an image.
Cool.
Yes. Involved. But once he starts sharpening up his point of view, his moral fervor, his drive and purpose in improving the world he lives in, he's finished.
We don't need a script.
Well, that's the theme that, for example, that art in any form, musical or pictorial, anticipates the technologies of the next 30, 40, 50 years. The artist is always a generation ahead of the technologies. Now, his perceptions are just that much faster, but there is another more important point there. In anticipating, he also provides the only means of social navigation. He tells you exactly what you're heading for, 30 years before you get there. So if you want social navigation, if you want to avoid sandbars, that's how to do it. You know, all this genius stuff and so on is useless categorizing. There are people who just, I have to notice what's going on around them. Why the hell call them geniuses? They're awake. Most people rather sleep it out. You know, normal people in normal situations tend to black out nearly the whole thing in the interests of comfort. Ordinary perceptions are deliberately deadened to permit life to be bearable. The artist is a sort of nut who's always trying to pep up perception.
Oh, it drives people crazy. Let me think. I wonder how we could break into this. more, no, just a casual conversation about it, even without you.
How could we break into it?
Into the scene of space. And
well, I have no idea whether they're ever going to get around to it. There's a nice maple there. That's a nice, couple of nice maples.
Well, yeah.
That's a chickadee. Might be a chickadee. This is not a forest.
No.
This is just scrub wood.
Yeah,
this is scrub.
Of course, that is where I'm brought up in Fort William, which is not too unlike.
Well, actually, it's a totally different terrain. The soil is different?
Yeah. It's not like this, I agree.
Now, this is. This could be anywhere in Winnipeg by the Assiniboine or the Red River.
I see. Well, I've seen this kind of thing further west in the Capel Valley.
Uh-huh.
That's the same thing. In the valley, trees of this kind.
Literally what is called scrub.
Yeah. Of course, one of the things, and I was aware of this many years ago.
Bush. Yeah, this is bush country.
One of the things is that there have been so many bad landscape features. I mean, if you think of it in terms of constable landscapes, some of the Greek landscape painters like Habermas, then this gives it a kind of romantic flavor, which probably most people who are not acquainted with painting wouldn't get out of it exactly.
Marshall, do you want us to talk about this space? This kind of object? If I had a car like that once. But the Spirit of St. Louis, which is a model of which is here in hand, reminds us one of the sort of far western entrepreneurial spirit, the individual point of view, the goal-oriented man, the man from whom no obstacles can possibly
of course, another aspect of it is the space. I mean, in 24 hours, Lindbergh divided the width of the ocean by 10.
Yeah. And turned it into the Atlantic River, as
that's
the ads now
follow.
But it's only Westerners who tend to have this distant, far-reaching point of view. The vanishing point for Lindbergh was Paris. By the way, in the space we're sitting in right now, these trees have no prearranged, no programmed values. They have just followed the lines of force, as natural objects do. And so the spaces between them are fascinating, and not at all arbitrary. And that point about tactile space as the space between objects never has received more intense verification than in the Negro Quest of our own time. As the white and the Negro get pushed closer and closer together into interface, the distance between them becomes more and more of the mark. And it's the paradox is that touch does not unite but separate. And so as people become more involved in each other, the more distance they feel the need of between themselves. And so the Japanese do it by ceremony. They feel the need to have a little living room, and they do it ceremoniously to keep the other crowd at a distance. They don't even use personal pronouns in their language. The absence of the personal pronoun is also characteristic of the new hippie world. They don't think of themselves as private individuals at all. So the new acoustic space of the Jefferson airplane or the electronic sounds. This is a space in which you merge tribally with everybody else. You have no private
interview. There's no possibility of detachment in it at all.
Movies and TV are completely different forms. And the human response is utterly different. The effect is different.
That's right, because I think that the reason is that it's light through, of course, from behind. The light on thing allows more detachment.
Well, the movie as a photographic form is intensely visual, high definition, and therefore tending to create much detachment.
The point about the television image, of course, is that, as opposed to film,
a television image is in low definition.
You have to have it. It makes a great deal of filling. There's not a series of little still pictures. There's no shutter on the camera. There's a finger that etches and draws all the time. A little iconic font. Anything seen in low definition involves and seems more fascinating than whatever is clearly...
Because it is more involved. And because it demands you to fill in.
Well, you know, Europeans, or rather Africans, if they want to read, or learn to read, they have to wear European clothing. Sitting there in their little whatnots, energy dissipating in all directions, you can't read.
Let me think. I wonder how we could break into this.
How could we break into it?
Into the scene of space.
Well, I have no idea whether they're ever going to get around to it.
Well, I think we're on now.
Well, what
on earth? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, the point is that
when do you want us to start now?
Yeah,
okay, let's start. Well, I think we ought to have a few words about why space has never been studied.
Why not mention the Greek discovery of visual space, the Roman discovery of enclosed space, and then also their discovery of the straight road.
Bosch.
Oh, yes, well, Hieronymus Bosch. But then, after Greeks, Romans, Bosch, then Munch...
If we move to Bosch, to the screen, to Kafka,
yeah. And then to Cubism, Eliot,
yeah.
Joyce, and then hardware, software. Now the current interface between old hardware and new software. Backward areas can now have the software, multi-billion-dollar environment of electric software, before they have any cornflakes. When the kids, though, in the same way in our own homes, are brought up on multi-billion-dollar software, then they say, why should we spend the next 20 years of our lives getting ready to master the old hardware? Well, that's hardware.
And today, of course, the affluence is spread throughout the whole society, to a very large
extent. By software.
Yeah, by software.
But when the China or Nigeria get the new radio and electronic software, they say, where the hell's the hardware? Where are the groceries?
Yeah.
Having embedded themselves or involved themselves profoundly in the new software environment of information and electronic services, they say, why should we acquire engineering skills to build old-fashioned railways and factories and to make people specialists in the old hardware?
Old hardware.
It's still old hardware.
Yeah.
All right, now at the present time, once more.
The present time, we all have
the old hardware versus the new software.
That's right.
We have the new...
Make a note of that.
The interface of old hardware and new software.
I've got a pencil.
You had a pencil.
I did, but no, I didn't
hear it as I said.
Mention Eric Abelard.
I just put Abelard.
But if you take that as one point...
I'm not better put down Gombrich.
Not matching making. We mentioned it once already. As many of
by the way, one thing that we've never discussed, have you... By the way, Bruce, have you run out of gum yet? Well, we never mentioned, by the way, that this strange aspect in which language reflects sensory involvement or detachment as in all sorts of slang, like... Here's looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be seeing it. I'll see you around. But I know this thing inside out. But on the other hand, people sometimes say, I know it like the back of my hand. On the other hand, some Russians say, I know it like the palm of my hand. And the Germans, on the other hand, say, I know it like the inside of my pocket.
But in Thai, the Thai language, they say, I know it like a snake slipping through water.
The French say, oh, thong. I know it in depth, way down,
deep,
profound. And... every language seems to stress a different sense in expressing this idea of complete awareness.
When they began to stress tremendously the making of form by light and dark, and those are very applicable at this point, by light and dark, they then became aware that the object of the shadow line on a head, for example, would be the profile if you were looking at it from the light source.
Yeah,
so the light out here, the light looks out up there, and by putting these two together, you get simultaneously two points.
A light doesn't have a point of view, or does it?
No, the light doesn't.
It radiates
in all directions at once, giving it a spherical auditory character. Unless, of course, it's a spot. One of those kind of...
Oh, no, all right. Right here. This is a spotlight or a point of view light.
which depends upon kinetic direction.
That's right.
But this is merely inserted into a globe holder that enables it to disperse light simultaneously in all directions. This is the new electric space.
Ambient is probably a good word. Ambient.
The telegraph creates this kind of space globally. By enabling us to have information from every part of the globe at once, it creates a sphere, which is auditory and non-visual. You cannot see from all directions at once, but you can hear from all directions at once.
And therefore, what is happening is you're getting tremendous millions of simultaneous events, each of which is global.
So every item, every kind of event in the world today takes on global significance because it is known instantly in every part of the globe.
This is reminiscent, actually, of the great masters of the East who are able to shoot an arrow into a bullseye. Having one shot it into the bullseye visually, they can then be blindfolded and repeat it.
That's a sort of clenching.
That's right. Well,
hold that stance.
That's right. You hold the stance, and when the stance is exactly right, then
this is what our scientists call scientific proof. Can you do it again?
No.
If you can do it again, then you've got a proof.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's visual space, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anything that can be exactly repeated is matching.
That's
is
right.
Visual. Can you do it again?
No.
If you can do it again, then you've got a proof.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's visual space, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anything that can be exactly repeated is matching.
That's
is
right.
Visual.
That's right. It's visual space.
But as science gets more sophisticated, it realizes that all experiments are subtly non-repetitive, and that repetition is not a proof, and that no two experiments are ever alike. Yeah. And visual space, in fact, has disappeared from science.
Yeah.
To find visual space in verbal manifestation is exceedingly rare and difficult, but it's a big bounding line between medieval and modern literature.
Of course, the visual has that quality about it that all the elements which go into a visual picturing are things which can only be seen. Perspective can't be walked, it can't be touched, it can't be smelt, it can only be seen. Chiaroscuro, the blending from light to dark, cannot be touched, smelt, nothing, just seen.
And seen in one position.
From one position. The same thing with diminution of size. The fact that objects get smaller, they go away from you. This is purely a visual thing.
And similarly, rights upside down and right side up, which do not exist in Eskimo art or in children's art. This is a great mystery. Why do we turn everything we see right side up when, in fact, we see everything upside down? No scientist has a clue as to why we bother to do this, and it is unknown whether animals do it or not.
Let me see. I wonder how we could.
I have no idea whether they're ever going to get around to it. As people move up through industry today to higher levels of knowledge and awareness, they automatically drop out. They don't want to have anything more to do with the operation. They want to get out fast. The executive has dropped out is one of the biggest phenomena of our time.
Where they go?
Oh, back into careers of teaching or education, anything. Now, this is an automatic process that as business itself demands more awareness and more knowledge, the whole thing requires more knowledge through the new media. He drops out as child. As the home becomes more deeply involved in the environment, it drops out as home. As the school is in an ever richer milieu, it drops out as shaping force. As politics become more and more involved in world situations, the local policies, national policies drop out. No meaning. When you put a satellite environment around the planet ceases to be the human environment. The planet drops out.
It becomes an
odd thought.